Good morning. My name is Jeannie Falk-Jones. I'm one of the agronomists with K-State based on experiment station in Colby. I have kind of a different position. I'm called a multi-county extension agronomist. So I spend a lot of time working one-on-one with producers. So how do you know? How do you know that you are addressing the needs of your producers? How do you know that you're really tapping into what they're asking questions about? Why don't you stop and think about this? Where are you on this chart here? Are you the one white guy standing over by himself, having that discussion kind of in his mind, moving forward? Are you the one who's actually leading the group moving forward? Now, are you working with others? And I had put this actually in before we came to this conference, and I had to stop and think about this when I was looking at this presentation last night, that this is what this conference really looks like. Everybody stands in little groups out in the hallway, and we talk about what we're going through and what we're bouncing ideas off of each other. There's a lot of brainstorming going on, a lot of good synergy that happens here. So my question is, what if you take this home and you just take this to your farmers and they go, why? Why is this the topic that we need to be discussing? So I think as we're standing here having these discussions, we probably need to think about the why question of what our clientele is really needing. So many ideas grow better when transplanted into another mind than the mind that it originated in. So let's stop and think about that. There's a lot of synergy with working with groups. So I think it's really important to think through what that next step is. And advisory committees can be a really good tool for moving forward with this. And advisory committees can come in many shapes and sizes. They can be very formal, very informal, but I just probably am a little biased. You probably need one formal group that you're really running ideas past every time that you take a step forward on some of this stuff. But really, the possibilities are endless. And if you stop and think, you probably have multiple advisory groups that you're working with. So I like to joke that I had an advisory committee before advisory committees were cool, because I got to Northwest Kansas and I grew up in Northeast where we had twice the amount of rainfall, and I get to Northwest Kansas and I was like, gosh, I'm not sure what my producers really need. So I assembled what I called the think tank. And it was a group of producers who were my age, who were producers who were my dad's age. They're the ones who had probably been the ones who had called me first with questions. And then I said, great, you have questions? Well, I'm going to pick your mind on some of this stuff. So really, I assembled what I called my think tank. So the very interesting thing at K-State is that we already have this in place for advisory committees. They're called Program Development Committees, and we'll call them PDCs for short. But it's really a formal way of having an advisory committee. We cover these four topic areas in Kansas with the ability to subdivide some of those committees as you need to. And actually, this is put in place by law. So it's an extension law in Kansas that you will have an advisory committee, that this is really talking about the grassroots basis of K-State Research and Extension. So even though this is by law that you will have these groups, not everybody was utilizing them. And so we really were wondering, why is this happening? So we had a group that was put together. It was called the PDC Task Force. And this is actually we have a state extension advisory committee. So these are individuals from across the state that advises K-State Research and Extension. And they came back and said, why isn't everybody using these committees? How do we make them use these committees? So our job was to find out, why are these committees not being used? As we went through, we conducted a survey of 48 individual extension agents across the unit and really asked them, why are you using your committees or are you not? Why are you not using them if you're not? So a lot of questions we got back was, we didn't know how to engage the committee. We didn't even know who was on our committee, which is probably a big problem. And we just don't feel like we're equipped with the skills. And when we started conducting these interviews, we figured, I think we had 12 questions. We figured 20, 25 minutes. I spent over an hour and a half with one extension educator, and they were just frustrated. They didn't know how to move forward with this group. And really, it boiled down to, there was a lot of fear. There was a lot of fear of what do we do? What if our PDC tells us that they want us to talk about everything? Well, that's fine, but how do we get to everything? How do we narrow down those things? What if somebody has an agenda? How do we navigate some of those things? Oh, okay. So we asked them how they would rate themselves on working with their PDC. So 56% of them said, we're doing good to excellent. We really feel like we're doing a good job. But that leaves 44% who are doing fair or just plain poor and just really didn't know how to move forward with them. So that really gave us the next question of why are you not doing this? What do you need to have a good relationship with this committee? And so overwhelmingly we were getting, I'm not sure if I have a pointer. Okay. Overwhelmingly we were getting results back that were talking about agent training, that they were needing resources. So that was really two of the key things that kept coming through from all these agents of what they needed. So what we did is we really did a big evaluation of resources that are out there. And what it came up with is that we were really missing some of the things that we needed. So within our PDC task force, which is about 12 to 16 of us, we sit down and just basically started writing publications on what do you need to move forward with your PDC. So this is a website up here at the top that has the link to all of our resources that we wrote at K-State, plus the other ones that we found from other universities that were very valuable. And this one is our best practices for working with your PDC. And really, this document is if extension agents have no, or not only extension agents, if anyone who's using advisory committees don't know how to even take that first step, this is really that first step document. And so this one, you only see a few on here. It actually has 15. When we started writing this document, it was like 3 pages long because we thought of all these things that we really needed to do with these extension agents and anyone who's working with an advisory group, but we tried to boil it down to really get to the basics. So there's 15 practices for them to go with. We wrote several other publications. One of them is alternative meeting formats. You don't have to have a sit-down meeting every time with your program development committee. You can do this via email. You can do it via web conference. You can do it phone calls, individual conferences, and do email back and forth to make this group really function instead of, because I think like everyone else in this room, it's a struggle to get groups together at times. So this is a really, you can do anything to make your PDC work for you. So we also had trainings. And so part of this training was we really tried to engage with active learning. And I think probably you guys have been to some sessions here at the conference that talks about active learning. How do you get these people involved in this process? So we tried to pattern things for them to mimic with their PDC. And one of those was we had that best practices document, those 15 things. We told agents, okay, pick 3 things that you think are doable. And then narrow that down to 1. And then if I pick number 6 and you pick number 6, we're going to have a conversation about it. And maybe we're going to be accountability partners. So in 30 days, I check in with my accountability partner, say, hey, how are you doing on your goal? Then we did 60 days. How are you really doing on your goal? 90 days. Probably better get going if you haven't already started making progress on this. So really, we gave them a chance to build a relationship with somebody else who's actually working on trying to do the same type of things. So this is our map of Kansas, and these are everyone who attended the trainings. So let me look here. I have the exact number of agents that we had. We had 148 participants. That is 59 of the 76 local units. So we had really, really good turnout and really good buy-in. One of the agents that I visited with told me, he goes, I was really not excited about coming to this. He goes, I really didn't think that I needed help. Or he goes, I kind of thought that if I wasn't there, the area director was going to call me and say, why aren't you at this meeting? And he goes, so I get there, and he goes, I came out of it. I feel like I can actually move forward with this type of opportunity to work with my PDC, and that I'm not so scared of them anymore. So I was really encouraged to have such a great attendance across the state. So when I looked at our books here for our logo for this conference, you know, there's gears on it talking about how everything works together. And we basically have the same type of thing going here. Daryl Buchholz, who is our Associate Director for Extension, said that programming is the only real reason for extension. And we're not talking about program as in little p program, like I'm going to hold a weed control meeting, but we're talking about program, as in the big P, that we have very defined goals, we have a very defined area that we're working towards. So we're going to talk about how to control kochia, glyphosate-resistant kochia in western Kansas. It's not about one meeting that we're going to have. It's about the newspaper articles and all of these things that go into it. And that's what this advisory committee is for, to help you, is to help move you forward, to pick these big P programs that we're going to be working towards. So there's a lot of benefits that come out of working with an advisory board. There's a lot of communication. We heard Sunny talk at our opening session about the need of communication, because we communicate pretty good amongst ourselves, but sometimes we need to stop and think about communicating on a bigger scale. If you have this advisory committee, you have that built-in communication to start having that conversation with your clientele, or them taking it to the next step and them taking it to teaching the other farmers that are around the area. And it's not only farmers that are our clientele, but it's agronomy professionals, it's other extension folk, it may be other agronomists that we're dealing with. So there's a lot of clientele that's happening. There's a lot of synergy in working in this group. You know, I always kind of walk in, I think, okay, I've got a couple ideas to run past them, but I'm going to listen first. Part of the time, we don't even get to my ideas, because they're, once they start rolling on this, they're like, hey, yeah, maybe we should be talking about this, or how do we address this audience? And so there's a lot of synergy that comes from it, a lot of cooperation. When you're putting together your advisory board, you should probably have somebody who's in industry on your advisory board, maybe the local co-op, maybe it's the one Servitech agronomist that's working with you. So there's a lot of synergy, because everybody's working towards the same goal of helping producers. So how do we get to that place? And there's a lot of value in working together. So you have a lot of buy-in, you have expanded audiences that you're working with, and really they become your advocates. So when they're, for instance, we have one county that did not have an extension agent. He still had, the advisory group was still there after the extension agent had left. And so they called me and they said, would you sit down and talk to us real quick? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, we want to have a sprayer school. We want to have a sprayer school. And I said, okay, well, I can help you find the right people to be on your program. That group of six producers went to all the local businesses, got sponsorship. They came and they helped with registration. I even had one who baked cookies. So it was a really good step forward that this advisory group was taking off and moving forward with this. So my question to you is, how do you tap into this type of a group? If you don't have a formal advisory board, I think it's really, really important. It's not just on a local level, but you can take it to the area level or to the state level. And so it's really important to have that type of a group. With that, I think that's the end of my presentation. There was one quote I had seen from Henry Ford, and it was talking about, if you all start working together, success just takes care of itself. And I think that's a really good thought on advisory boards. Thank you. You're welcome. Do we have time for questions? Okay. Guess we're running behind here, aren't we?